From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Pro-Syrian government forces seized the rebel-held neighborhood of Farafrah near the Old City in the center of Aleppo. It's the last major city in which the opposition has a firm grip. Days of intense fighting followed the collapse of a U.S.-Russian brokered ceasefire earlier this month. David Lesh is a Syria analyst at Trinity College in Texas.
The Syrian government and the Russians seem to have recognized early that the U.S.-Russian agreement really had very little chance of being successful in terms of a cessation of hostilities. And so they've prepared to engage in another offensive in Aleppo.
The U.S. and Russia held no talks on further diplomatic efforts Tuesday, but U.S. spokesman Mark Toner said Secretary of State John Kerry needs measures offered by Moscow and Damascus that will change the reality on the ground.
What's happening in Aleppo is unacceptable. We recognize that the cessation of hostilities is badly weakened and that we need to see proposals going forward on how to resuscitate this cessation of hostilities. And what the secretary talked about was reestablishing credibility in the process.
Reuters quotes a senior rebel official as saying pro-government forces are mobilizing near the rebel-held Sheikh Said district in the south of Aleppo. The fall of Aleppo would be viewed as a major victory for forces of President Bashar al-Assad. War crimes judges at The Hague Tuesday sentenced former Islamist rebel Ahmed al-Faqih al-Mahdi to 9 years in prison for damaging and destroying 10 14th-century mausoleums and religious sites in Mali. It's the first such international case involving the destruction of heritage sites in 2012 during the African country's coup, where al-Qaeda-backed jihadists took advantage in the north. This is VOA News. Former Israeli President and Prime Minister Shimon Peres died Wednesday at age 93 after suffering a major stroke 2 weeks ago. Peres, the last of the so-called founding fathers of the State of Israel, having had a public career that spanned 70 years. Joseph Olmert, political science professor at the University of South Carolina, said Peres, originally a hawk, tempered his views later in life despite changing Israeli attitudes.
Part of it may have had to do with the fact that in his lifetime, there was the big, political change in Israel, you know, the demographic change, which led the Israeli public opinion from left to right. And he was left on the left side of politics.
Peres was co-recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize in 1994, forging peace with Palestinians under the so-called Oslo Accords. In a statement, President Obama praised him for never giving up on the possibility of peace. Somali radio journalist Abdelaziz Ali Haji, who worked for the Shabelle radio station in Mogadishu, was shot dead by unknown gunmen Tuesday. No immediate claim of responsibility. Haji, the 13th employee at Shabelle Radio, killed since 2007. 11 were gunned down, 2 others died in al-Shabaab suicide attacks. The 2 major party presidential candidates were back on the campaign trail Tuesday, 6 weeks before the November 8 U.S. election, a day after the first televised debate, viewed by more than 80 million people. Hillary Clinton met with supporters in North Carolina. Republican Donald Trump addressed thousands in Melbourne, Florida.
For 90 minutes, I watched her very carefully, and I was also holding back. I didn't want to do anything to embarrass her, but I watched her, and she was stuck in the past.
In North Carolina, Clinton attacked Trump for being, in her words, dangerously incoherent and not releasing his tax returns. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi canceled his appearance in November at a regional summit in Pakistan, reflecting heightened tensions over an uptick in violence in Kashmir. India blamed Islamabad for allowing militants to attack an Indian army post early this month that killed 18 soldiers. The 2 nuclear-armed rivals also disagree over a water treaty. A top U.S. official told U.S. lawmakers Tuesday the Obama administration plans to speed up deployment of the THAAD anti-missile system in South Korea to blunt the growing North Korean nuclear missile threat. Assistant Secretary of State Daniel Russell said he believes South Korea is firmly committed to deployment despite Chinese opposition. President Obama Tuesday nominated career diplomat Jeffrey De Laurentiis to be the first U.S. ambassador to Cuba in more than 5 decades. The nomination may be short-lived, since it must be approved by an opposition-controlled Senate, skeptical of normalized ties and in an election year. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.